Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
He's Blank, I'm Branham. Texans, Panthers play Sunday. Number one pick, number two pick, number three pick. All right, so you spend a lot of time comparing Texans, Panthers, especially in the offseason after the draft, whose future's better, which quarterback's going to be better. Through 7 weeks of the NFL season, I think Stroud has a huge leg up. It's always been a little bit of a leg up, except for the draft. Anyways, big picture, the future of the Texans is how much better off than the future of the Panthers. Should you believe that at all?
No.
I think that the Texans' future is a lot better. I don't love the coaching staff in Carolina either. I've never really been a Frank
Not a
Reich
fan of Frank
guy.
Reich?
No. I think that the successes that they've had in Indy when Frank Reich was there was on the it was basically because of the assistants.
Quarterback development.
Sirianni was there. I mean, who has he developed?
Well, I mean, in Philly.
Yeah. Right? I mean, Carson Wentz.
Well, but Wentz, look, we forget until he blew up his knee that he was going to be the MVP.
Yeah. I put that more on Peterson than Frank Reich.
Coached up Nick Foles so that when Wentz went down.
But if you had to decide, like, who's the quarterback whisperer in Philly between Doug Peterson and Frank Reich, 90% of that for me is on Doug Peterson.
And it's obviously what Peterson's doing right now, too, that kind of helps that as well. But Peterson's always been known as somewhat of a quarterback guru, so I get that.
Yeah, I think that the success of the quarterbacks when Reich and Peterson have been together is all on Doug Peterson.
I think the biggest thing that you look at with the two franchises, as much as we know what happened with the trade here, but you got the number two and three pick in the draft. When you look at what Carolina did to get Bryce Young, they gave up their best receiver. They gave up multiple picks. So they're not exactly sitting there from a position like the Texans of still having all this draft capital that can help you get better quicker and sustain being good longer.
Yeah, I mean, the Texans don't have their first, but they have a first because of previous stuff, whereas Carolina kind of sold out for Bryce, and they don't have a first this coming year, but after that they'll be good. But I also like the core a little bit more for the Texans. Like, this defensive core for Carolina doesn't look as good this year as it did last year. There are serious thoughts that Brian Burns is going to be traded before the deadline, and if it's not by the deadline, is he part of their long-term plans? The wide receiver room was something that we compared Carolina and Houston with, and start of the year I would have Carolina ahead of Houston. Right now, I mean, Thielen's still having a pretty good year.
It's Thielen and a bunch of guys.
Yeah, I like Mingo. I think that he has promise, but he hasn't come close to hitting his promise. Like, Tank Dell's a rookie. He's been better than Jonathan Mingo as a rookie. Whereas Thielen, you could argue Thielen's been a little bit better than Nico, or at least they've been on par. But Nico's younger and has a more promising future, where Thielen's still trying to hang on to
Thielen's
his heyday.
He's on the back nine, and he's playing the par 3/16th. He ain't going to be around much longer.
I mean, Thielen's having a good year, and I like Thielen, but yes, he's not one that's going to be a really good receiver in 2 years, where Nico Collins might be hitting his stride and his peak in a couple of years. And if you say Jonathan Mingo and Tank Dell are washes, okay, well, then the Texans have the big picture view, they have the advantage there. A running back, Carolina spent some money on Miles Sanders, and Miles Sanders is better right now than what the Texans are getting, so you have to give him the edge there. I'll take Texans offensive line.
Yep.
Tight end, Schultz is probably better than anything that Carolina has, but Schultz is only on a one-year deal, so that's kind of a wash. And then defensively, you got Will Anderson, who you're counting on for the next few years, foreseeable future. Is Burns going to be there long? I don't know.
It
doesn't sound like it. Petrie, I like. There's some pieces on Carolina I like.
You don't know what you have in Stingley, but there's still a chance that that pick that high turns into what you drafted him to be, or at least close to it.
I think the Texans are in a much better spot than Carolina. If we're looking at a five-year window, give me the Houston Texans five-year window over what the
Panthers your quarterback's are. Making guys look better, like Robert Woods, like Nico Collins having a breakout year, like some of the guys that he's throwing to and some of the things he's able to do. And Young's been dinged up a little bit, but of the two, I think there's a massive, a cavernous gap between the two of them right now because of the play of C.J. Stroud.
And also the core that I talked about yesterday for me. I want a really strong head coach, really strong quarterback, and then kind of figure out the rest later. I believe that if you have a really good head coach, a really good quarterback, that you're always a playoff contender. If I'm looking at those two spots, D'Amico Ryans, C.J. Stroud, I'm taking that way before I'm taking Frank Reich and Bryce Young point.
So what, like, you know now?
That gives me a huge leg up on the Texans before we look at anything else. DeMeco greater than Frank, in my opinion, and then C.J. Stroud greater than Bryce Young's in almost everybody's opinion.
That would have been an interesting conversation before the year started.
Yeah, because you didn't know DeMeco.
Right, you didn't know DeMeco. You knew that Frank Reich maybe got a little bit of a raw deal being force-fed the veterans, but
Now, generally speaking, you're 100% right. Because it would be a fair conversation. I've always been anti-Reich.
And that's fair. I'm just saying, overall, looking at the situation, you take a first-year head coach that's never even coached before and taking a guy that's had experience, had success to some degree, and has been a long-time coach in the league, that you could see where people would side with the veteran coach. And of the two quarterbacks, I think most people were on board saying that Bryce Young was the slam dunk of the two or was higher ranked and rated, and that's why they traded up to get to one to get him.
Yep.
As opposed to waiting and seeing who fell into their lap.
Do you think that there's a shot at all that Bryce Young eventually surpasses C.J. Stroud as a better quarterback in the NFL?
Right now, my answer is no. I mean, if you ask me that question at the start of the season, sure, absolutely. And I think that he might have been a favorite to have a better career than C.J. Stroud. Knowing what we know now and looking at it and then seeing how much we've scrutinized over and over size, but he looks so small on the football field when you see him in pads and against everybody else on the field that I think in that case, size really does matter because he's really, really small. And I can't see that happening right now with how good Stroud's played.
Of what I've seen, it's going to be hard for me to envision Young passing Stroud. Like, I've really like what I've seen from Stroud in a ton of different aspects. I think his pocket presence is great. We talk about his touch, his ball placement. I think his accuracy can be better. I think it will be better. Like, he's under 60% right now, which is surprising because it looks better than that. His ability to read defenses pre-snap, post-snap. I've been blown away with C.J. Stroud. I didn't think we'd be talking about C.J. Stroud like this, and I haven't watched Bryce Young as closely as I've watched C.J. Stroud. I've seen every single snap that C.J. Stroud has made. I've watched C.J. Stroud all 22s. I haven't done that with Bryce Young. But the little bit I've seen of Bryce Young isn't close to a lot of it I've seen of C.J. Stroud.
I think it's definitely the Texans' future is brighter. Some of that's the coaching, but we had that weird press conference from a couple weeks ago with Frank Reich where he kind of like alludes to the fact that it seems like the owner made them choose Bryce Young. Think back to the Josh McCown clip from C.J. Stroud's pro day when he talks about him buying a basketball hoop and that they're going to hoop in Charlotte and in Carolina in the offseason. Like, it seemed like Josh McCown, their quarterback coach, wanted them to take C.J. Stroud. And then let's say both these teams had the first overall pick. Which one of them is bailing for Caleb Williams? Not the Texans. It's the Panthers. Like, the way they're playing right now, if C.J. Stroud was playing the way he did and the Texans had the first overall pick, they would stick with C.J., right?
Yeah.
No questions asked.
They either trade down or just like Marvin Harrison.
Yeah, and then, like, the Panthers, they would have the first overall pick right now if they had their own capital. They would give up on Bryce Young after a year. I have no doubt about that.
I have doubt about that.
You think that if they had the number one pick, actually, instead of it being
right, like
Chicago's?
If they had the number one, like the whole Josh Rosen, Kyler Murray scenario, like I understand what you're saying. They still have their first. They land the number one pick. They have a decision to make: Caleb Williams or Bryce Young. If they go Caleb Williams, they trade Bryce Young. I don't think that Bryce Young is in Josh Rosen territory. I don't think that Caleb Williams is. I mean, is Caleb Williams in Kyler Murray territory? Yeah, he probably is.
Yeah,
but I don't think that Bryce Young is anywhere near Josh Rosen territory.
I don't think so either. It's like the way CJ is playing versus the prospect that Caleb Williams is. You wouldn't bail on CJ Stroud for Caleb Williams. I think you bail on Bryce Young for Caleb Williams without a doubt.
Especially with the way Caleb Williams has looked the last couple of weeks.
I mean,
there's reason for a lot of concern there. If we're just taking like the most recent samples that we've gotten, then that's legit.
I think that they still like. I mean, they still like Bryce. They're not quitting on Bryce. I don't think that they would quit on Bryce for Caleb Williams.
The thing that I was going to ask you too, as a Bears fan, or at least before you get forced, the question is, you know, how every Texans fan, or there's a conversation among Texans fans, you dodged a bullet. You thought you were really bad because it was really awful because you lost that last game of the regular season and you lost a chance on Bryce Young. And in retrospect, it was the best thing that ever happened to you, and C.J. Stroud fell into your lap. The Bears could almost say the same thing because the Bears were considering trading out on Justin Fields to get Bryce Young, and now you don't know how good that looks, But because you didn't do that and did what you did,
yeah, right now you have the number
you
one
might
pick.
Have dodged a bullet because you're going to have the number one overall pick, and you might get Caleb Williams and or your best choice of the best quarterback that's there.
So my problem with it is the way the season's played out, because maybe we just were all wrong, and like it's the same thing with the Texans. If the Texans had the number one pick the way CJ's played, I would like to believe that Nick Caserio would have taken CJ Stroud. Mm-hmm. As a Bears fan, and I'm watching CJ Stroud play, I'm pissed that they traded the number one pick and that CJ Stroud is not a Chicago Bear.
You wish they would have kept one and drafted Stroud one.
Take Stroud, trade Fields. Right now, looks like the for sure move they should have. Yes, they might get Caleb Williams. Mm-hmm. But like it's not even in their power to make that happen. Like CJ Stroud, I think we know the answer about what he is for a franchise, and two teams passed on him.
Do you So you're higher on Stroud than Caleb Williams, too?
At this, it's not that. It's just like you could have already had your quarterback.
Gotcha.
Like, you know, like I think we know the answer on Stroud. You don't know the answer on Caleb.
There's some uncertainty there. Also, you've lost value in Fields, right? I mean, the Fields values had to have gone way down.
Way down.
Yeah, he's probably worth like a third right now.
Because you could have gotten a first for Fields last year, I think.
I think so.
I think you could have gotten a first for Fields.
I agree with that.
But maybe a second?
Well, especially that he finished the year,
too.
He got
a first.
He finished the year enough that people said there's more than just a running quarterback there, but what he does running is so dynamic. It fits today's NFL to where teams would have given you a first.
I think it would have been a late first. Second half of the first round. I don't think it would have been a top 10 pick, but second half of the first round, I believe.
Trey Lance gets you a fourth. Justin Fields still today gets you a second.
There's no doubt you get a second.
Yeah. Oh, today? Fields is better than Trey Lance.
I mean, Trey Lance got a fourth this offseason.
Yeah, but a fourth isn't great.
No, I mean, I know, but like Justin's at least been on the football field.
I'd be curious. I mean,
and
I'm
shows that he
curious.
Can run a huddle and he can understand defenses and he can do some things.
Look, if I was Atlanta, I'd be calling right now.
I don't know if he's worth a second.
You don't think so?
This is his third year?
If you're Atlanta, you're calling for Fields?
Yes.
I mean, depending on how cheap you can get him, why not? If you can get him for a fifth,
if you can get him
for
cheap, yeah, but I don't think you're going to give him a whole lot because Ritter looked like he's a better thrower of the football than Fields.
Yeah, Ritter has looked better the last couple weeks. Maybe a third's like at this point with the way the season has gone.
Maybe that's more of a slap at Fields.
It's definitely a slap at Fields. Yeah.
Who are you talking
to? Is this his third year? Fields' third year? So Fields has – this is his third year. So you're looking at – you have to – and because of the way the NFL is set up, you have to make the decision on a fifth-year option before the fourth year.
That's the problem.
So whoever has Fields this offseason is going to have to accept the option or decline the option on his fifth year before the season starts. So if you're trading for that – if you're trading for Fields, you're accepting the fifth-year option.
Definitely.
So now you're looking at a minimum of 2 years for Fields, maybe a second. Maybe a second.
It's so hard to figure out, like...
Third seems to be fair market right now.
Curious what, like, the rest of the NFL views him as.
6'7", 6'1", doesn't view him very good. How have you seen Fields and think he's an NFL quarterback?
He's an NFL quarterback.
Because two weeks in a row, he threw for 650 yards and 8 touchdowns. Like, I don't understand how a quarterback can do that and then be the other guy most of the time. Besides saying that Chicago's the problem. Like,
I don't think that's look, I think there's shortcomings to his game, obviously, as it relates to passing and decision making.
I mean, Deshaun Watson went on a tear whenever he was a Texan.
He got a fully guaranteed contract.
I mean, quarterback, if you're a top 35 quarterback in the world, you're capable of doing that. What you struggle with is doing that consistently,
and that's
doing
what
that all the time. So it doesn't surprise me that Fields, because he's super talented, has had a back-to-back stretch where he was insane and really, really good. Like Blake Bortles probably had a stretch like that. Mm-hmm. Mitch Trubisky's first 2 years. I mean, you saw that. Mitch Trubisky was a Pro Bowler in his second year.
He went to the playoffs.
He probably is he better than Baker right now?
No. Fields? No. Fields. No.
It depends on your offense.
Is he better than Carr?
It depends on your offense. Like, because Carr and Baker are much better throwers of the ball, whereas Fields is a much better runner. Like in Atlanta's scheme, Fields is a way better option than those three. I think in a Philadelphia scheme, Fields is a better option than those three.
Would he be better in Tennessee?
No, he'd be awful.
I don't know what their offense is.
Tennessee's pro style, old school, like 12 personnel. Like, no, he'd be awful.
But would he be the best quarterback in the room?
Most talented,
yeah.
He'd be most talented.
You'd have to obviously change your system, but I'm just looking at teams at the bottom.
I don't know. I don't think we know who he is, because he still shows flashes, and it's an organization that is just it's the worst organization in the NFL.
But look at like a Rams scheme, like a McVay. McVay would take Carr. McVay would take Baker.
Sure he would.
Baker was there last year.
Yeah, and first game without having heard of doing anything, they ran an offense that he was capable of winning a game.
So it depends what your offense is, because Fields is better in some options or some offenses, and then Carr and Baker are better than some other offenses. But if that's your peers, if that's the company you're keeping, that shows who you are. Not very good. A third rounder, maybe, for Fields.
I think it's a third because as much as they still know what he can do, what he put on tape this year was so inconsistent, no one's going to be willing to overcommit a second-round pick.
OG on the Twitch, he's saying that we owe an apology to Nick Caserio because of the way that we critiqued his past draft. We had a text the other day, too, when we were talking about Stroud as Rookie of the Year, D'Amico Coach of the Year, Texans possibly winning the division. How do we feel about giving up that first-round draft pick now? I know that we hated it whenever it happened. Now that we've played six games in Houston, now that we're through 7 weeks of the NFL season going into week eight, now that we feel differently about the Houston Texans, is OG right? Do we owe
First
Nick
of all, you
Caserio
bite your tongue right now. I won't even entertain that.
713, entertain what?
That OG guy is right.
Okay.
On anything.
Well, if he told
That's
you...
just because of who he is.
If he told you the sun's going to rise tomorrow, would you tell him he's not right?
Yeah, probably.
713-780-3776. If you're anti-trade on draft day, do you feel differently now after six games and 7 weeks of the NFL season? 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
Hey, before we go to the break, tell you about the good people at MyBookie again, because MyBookie's taking care of you. And we know that when the weekend is upon us, that means so is a ton of sports. And right now, you've got a ton of sports. You have hockey going on, NBA basketball going on, World Series baseball going on, college and pro football going on. You want a place where you can bet on all of them, a few of them, or just one of them? MyBookie.ag. They got all the sports, they got all the bets, and they're the perfect place for you. Been in business for over a decade. They're not going anywhere, so neither is your money. You can put your money in your account. It's going to be safe. When you want to take it out, it's going to be there. And they've got promotions galore that are always taking care of you, the customer. They're doing the same thing right now with a match bonus. Put in money in your account. Sign up at mybookie.ag. Use the promo code BET975. Whatever you put in up to $1,000, they're going to match it and put the same amount into your account as well. So if you put $100 in, you're going to have $200 in your account. More money in your account, more games you can bet on, more chances to win at the one place I tell you to go. It's mybookie.ag. And when there aren't any games going on, but you want to do some gambling, they can do that too because dealers are standing by. And that means that you can have live casino games with a live dealer right there at mybookie.ag. The one thing you have to do, remember that promo code BET975 because when you use it, you can cash in, you can get extra money, and you can have better fun because you have more chances to win with more money in your account. Check them out today. Go to mybookie.ag. Put in that promo code BET975 and do what I always tell you to do. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere. With the only place I tell you to do it, it's mybookie.ag, promo code BET975.
3%. He's Blank. I'm Branham. We're the Bees. ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. OG, you guys should apologize to Caserio. Didn't like what he did on draft. We didn't like what he did on draft day. I didn't. I was very harsh of what he did on draft day. We had a text the other day, same thing. How do you feel about the trade now versus where you felt before the season? How do you feel about it, Blankers, now the Texans have played six games, now that we've played 7 weeks of the NFL season?
I still have concerns about it. I still need to see it. You know, the full body of even after a season. And we said we didn't know when you could actually fully pass judgment, but at the end of the season was where you're going to get your first indication of being able to kind of pass judgment on it and say, was it good? Was it bad? I felt bad at the time. I still don't feel great about it right now. And I think a lot of it has to do with depending on who you took and who you didn't take if you didn't make the trade. But if you took Stroud and you got it right, and I'm not going to say that, you know, because of the way the draft order went, they did what they did, so they were trying to save some value because if they were making a trade for a quarterback, they probably would have had to give up more, in my opinion. But regardless, if you have Stroud and you could have added a top wide receiver like a Marvin Harrison Jr. a year from now, and regardless of what you wanted to do, or you could have done what the Bears did and you had the number one overall picker, you had a high pick that to play with that you could do something with. But because of the team's playing better too, that I understand it, and that changes a lot of things, but no one could have predicted that. And I don't think Nick was thinking that this team was going to be playoff worthy when the trade was made. I still have concerns because I need to see more out of Will Anderson. I know when I hear from everybody how hyper-talented and special this kid is, and I know that they're spending a lot of extra attention, you know, trying to block him and do things to stop him, but I need to see more to convince me that you're getting a massively dominant defensive player like some of the guys he's been compared to. So I still have concerns about the trade.
Yeah, I think that, I mean, I feel way better about it today than I did the day after the trade. and I think it's very easy to see why. The day after the trade, you're still thinking the Texans are going to have a top three, top five pick, which I think it's fair to think that. Vegas would have the same exact thing. Now the Texans are picking in the teens. Now they're not missing out on the chance of being in Caleb Williams' territory and trading that pick for a king's ransom. They're not in the territory of Marvin Harrison Jr. They're not in the territory of some of these top, you know, tackles in football or the Jared Verse for Florida State. Like, now you're talking about second fringe players. Like, the name that I saw mentioned the other day was a cornerback that I'd never heard of. I saw another mock draft from CBS that was a defensive tackle I've never heard of.
But you also could have paired up your two first-round picks if you did want to get up there.
I mean, now you're getting a little reachy, though. Like, now it's, well, you could pair this, you could have, would have, should have, well, could have done this, ifs and buts, candies, nuts.
You would have had all your picks from last year and the ones you gave up that could have been players that could have actually done more benefit to you this year. And then you would have had the potential of taking two first-round picks and moving up if you wanted to.
Yeah, but that's I mean, now you're, like, combining these things. Like, you have the ability this year to combine Cleveland's pick and your first-round pick next year to trade up for Marvin Harrison Jr. Like, you still have the ability to do that. You just don't have the full arsenal of draft picks to do that. So it's difficult to have those conversations because now you're kind of – it's kind of maddening. Like, you're kind of creating these scenarios. Like, the way that I look at it is the cost to move up for Will Anderson was what? You traded the 12th pick. You traded the 33rd pick, and you traded next year's first rounder. Next year's first rounder, whenever the Texans made the trade, was Caleb Williams trading for King's ransom. It was Marvin Harrison Jr. Now it's guys that we really don't know about because you're picking in the teens. So, yeah, you have to look at it differently today than you did whenever you made the trade day of and the following days after that. The fact that the Texans are playing good football, 3-3, the fact that I expect them to be in the playoff hunt, and I kind of expect them to get into the postseason. Now you're talking about a team that's picking in the 20s. So instead of giving up pick 12, 33, and 2, you're giving up pick 12, 33, and 20. So, yeah, it's much easier to swallow, whenever you're making that trade as opposed to what we thought it was before the season ever took place.
No, you're right. And that is the biggest factor. That the fact that I fully anticipated that they were going to be a top five pick. And I think we both were on the page of no matter what happens, the Browns are probably going to have a better record than the Texans. And now you don't know. But the fact that we're even having that conversation and we're talking having a conversation about the Texans making the playoffs and we're talking about how good that they're playing, it does change everything. You're right. I still have my apprehension overall, but it is a lot easier to swallow and say, hey, look, this was a good move for the franchise because of the fact that the team has played so well.
Yeah, I mean, I was the only positive one about the trade the day after it happened, but like it wasn't because of what they've done. Like, I thought it was worth the risk at the time. Like, you were going to get a player in Will Anderson who was a better prospect than Walker the year before, who went ahead of Aiden Hutchinson. He's, I think, a better prospect so far than the guys in this year's draft as pass rushers still. So, like, I think you got what you needed to. You got your franchise quarterback and a franchise defensive player. Yep. So the fact that now, like, they're pushing that draft pick back towards outside the top 10, like, it just gets... I think it's just getting better.
Yeah, it is getting better.
It's still risky.
The right now, Jerzon Newton is projected ESPN mock draft to be the pick that Arizona uses to draft. That was Houston's pick at 16.
Who?
Now, that's my point. Like, it's much different when we're talking about Kalen King, Jerzon Newton, Braylon Trice, as opposed to the pick that could be Caleb Williams, the pick that could be Marvin Harrison Jr., et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. Now, to Blanker's point, the discussion of this trade is not over, right? And it's not going to be over for five seasons. Like, you have to look at the five seasons because that's how long a rookie contract is for a first rounder. If you pick up the fifth year option, this is still something that you look at 5 years down the road to see who won the trade, because you still traded pick number 12 that was used on Jahmyr Gibbs. You traded pick number 33, which is Will Levis. You were never going to take a quarterback after you took CJ Stroud. Maybe you take Sam Laporta there, who knows? And then you still have to wait and see where your pick lands up and then who that pick turns out to be. So even if it lands in the teens, yes, it makes it a lot easier to breathe today than prior to the season when they could have been picking top three and we thought they were going to pick top three, but the jury's still out. The answer is still out there, and we won't know until both of the, you know, all of the players are done with their rookie contracts.
Yeah, no, that's kind of where I was too. And you know, I was the one that had thought the least of what this season was going to be for the Texans. I was the one that really was convinced that they were going to have a top five pick. And because that they haven't and they've played so well, and I'm happy that they have, it does. That's the biggest factor that changes things. Because other than that, we got to see what these guys all develop into. Stroud's the easiest one to say right now that he is legit and he is going to continue to get better and he's the real deal. You know, you believe that Anderson is too, but you also think it's how you weigh everything else. You need to see more from Anderson. You know that the picks you gave up turned out to be pretty good football players. So there's a ton of different factors that go into, you know, who won the trade.
And I think it still has to play out. It's right now, does it look better than it did preseason?
Sure.
Yes. Where are we at in 3.5 years? Like, that's when you know if you really won the trade. 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. How do you feel about it? If you're anti-draft day trade, you feel better about it now, right? We talk a lot about C.J. Stroud against these other rookie quarterbacks. Where does Tank Dell stack up with other rookie receivers in the NFL? It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Text coming up in 15 minutes, so make sure you get all your mean things in. King of Twitch has taken OG to task a little bit in the Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975. He said, let's talk Stingley in that... Aggie O-line bust. That's mean there, King of Twitch. Talking about Kenyon Green. So, look, I think Nick Caserio, for the most part, has been good drafting. I think he's been good drafting. I don't want to say really good. The first-round draft that he had in 2022 sticks out like a sore thumb.
It does. It does, because you're not supposed to miss on your first-round picks. You're supposed; those are the ones you're supposed to hit on and get quality football players with, and then where you really get... you know, exceptional grades is when you do some of the things that he has been able to do that we have given him credit for, that I have said over and over again about his ability to get a Damian Pierce in the fourth round, to get the guys that he got throughout the draft. Now, Christian Harris, who I was really high on, you know, all of last season, looks like he may have taken a step back. And systematically, as you've pointed out, maybe Pierce isn't the right fit for this system. It doesn't mean he can't play. But I think that he's done really well in certain areas. He's also kind of failed a little bit in certain areas, and the jury's still out in certain areas. So it's not just going to be because of the fact that suddenly this trade, you know, goes good and goes the Texans' way, that suddenly it anoints Nick Caserio as completely off the hook for everything else, because that's not how it works in life.
Yeah. Yeah. 713-780-ESPN. 6761, Blankers, you can't say Nick didn't think this team would be decent. No one thought that. That would have been one of the reasons he did do the trade. Maybe he was right. Most people were wrong. You're going through mental gymnastics to undermine what he did.
I'm really not. And I'm not trying to undermine it. I just thought that it was a lot to give up. And I think that mental gymnastics are not, Mary Lou. The biggest thing that I'm talking about is I think that he valued Will Anderson at a certain level higher than most. And that's why he went after Will Anderson, regardless of what he thought his football team was going to be. He figured that this was the move he had to make because of Will Anderson. But I think that we were all trying to be as realistic as possible in terms of the fact they were going in the right direction. But I don't think that they were going at it to be where they are right now. I don't think a lot of people thought that.
713-780-3776.
Jimmy?
Grade the mental gymnastics Mary Lou reference. 713-780-3776. Joe, what do you grade that? The mental gymnastics Mary Lou reference.
Like a 4.
See, I think that was one of his best work. I'm giving it an 8. That was well done.
It's past my time a little bit.
That's the one I thought about. I could have gone... Yeah.
You could have went Simone Biles to be time relevant.
Simone Biles, yeah. Probably get a 10.
But I think he stuck the landing.
I did see like the Packers game this weekend. I think it was the Packers game. And as soon as they showed Jonathan Owens, they called him Mr. Biles.
Yes, they do.
I used to call him. I do miss him in Houston. She was at the game. Jonathan Biles.
Yeah.
I think she was at Lambeau recently. Really? They had video of her coming out of the tunnel.
I saw that. Yeah. Tony 22 gives you an 8 for the Mary Lou joke.
Thank you.
The funny thing about like the Stingley, though, and Kenyon Green stuff you guys were talking about is that it almost feels like none of it matters if CJ is good. Like, if CJ gets them to the promised land, will anyone care?
It's true.
It's like the Trey Lance thing.
Yeah, as much as we said they're going to be joined at the hip. Because of the fact that you could have taken either guy with whatever, with the two picks, and one could have been traded. You could have said you were trading whatever. But at the same time, if Will succeeds and CJ doesn't, there could be questions. If CJ succeeds, nothing else matters.
Yeah, like it's like.
See, I disagree.
Why?
I disagree.
Why is that?
Because if Will Anderson, and I don't think this is the case. This is just playing the conversation out and having the conversation. Because you still gave up a lot, even if the Texans are picking in the teens this year. If Jahmyr, and look, I don't think the Texans take Jahmyr Gibbs, but he was used for that pick. If Jahmyr Gibbs is a top 5 running back and Sam Laporta is a top 3 tight end and Will Anderson Jr. is mid, then yeah, we're going to look back at the trade and be like, man, they got that one wrong, even though they got their franchise quarterback. And in fact, because they got their franchise quarterback, you might even look at the trade. Now, you're going to have a softer landing because you still have Stroud, but you're going to look back at it and go, man, it would have been really nice to pair C.J. Stroud with a top five running back, a top five tight end, instead of having a mediocre defensive end. I'm not saying he's going to be mediocre. I think he's a really good player. I think he's going to be really good. Mm-hmm. But you're still going to have these conversations, even if C.J. Stroud is a really good quarterback.
I think that it depends on how really good he is. If he ends up being top five, then I think that there are going to be a ton of people that completely forget about everything else that happened.
I don't know.
Like, I think that if he's really good, sure. Then I think you play revisionist history a little bit more.
Look at the last 5 minutes, though. Like, C.J. Stroud's already been really good. Looks like it was the home run quarterback pick of the draft. And immediately, King of Twitch goes to Kenyon Green and Derek Stingley. Like, acting like that would forever be forgiven if Will Anderson Jr. is mediocre and players that you could have gotten at those picks turn out to be great, I think it's a little bit short-sighted.
Like, but you think that, like, in San Francisco right now, that, like, every single time the 49ers do something great, they bring up Trey Lance?
Yes. Absolutely. Not every time. Like, when you're talking about winning games and going deep into the playoffs, great, yay. But does the conversation come up of what could have been instead of Trey Lance?
Yes.
100%.
But it's a minority, though.
No way.
Okay, just for the sake of the conversation, though, what if C.J. Stroud turns out to get multiple Super Bowls and becomes Mahomes? Then I think
now we're talking about
let's not go Mahomes. Let's talk about he gets you a Super Bowl and he gets into that top five range.
I still think that we look back at it. I still think we look back at it.
I don't think many would.
We do it with the Astros. What could have happened with the Mark Appel pick? What could have happened with the Brady Aiken pick? What could have happened if you did this trade, that trade? And the Astros have won 2 World Series titles in 7 years.
I don't think many people do that.
But it's not an important. No. Like, it's not a conversation that people get riled up.
It's
about.
A side point. It's a peripheral.
Yeah. It'll always be there.
Yes,
especially
it has
Kenyon
to be.
Green.
It's the history of the franchise.
But mm-hmm. it's if C.J. Stroud elevates this franchise to where he potentially could, Nick Casario gets way more of a pass. Like, John Lynch just got an extension, right?
Yeah, are two separate conversations in my mind. Because the approval rating goes, the approval rating for Nick Casario right now is really, really high compared to where it was at the beginning of the season. So those are two separate conversations entirely.
Yeah, it's just, I wonder how many people will look back at that stuff.
I think a lot of people will.
I think are just some of the more, the negative Nancy side.
I really do think it depends on how good CJ gets. If he's top 10, sure, I think it's legit to say, he could have maybe even been higher, and if you had more around him, and if they didn't do what they did, or if they whatever happened with the trades. I think if he does get to that level where he's not Mahomes, but he gets you a Super Bowl and he gets in that top five conversation, I think a lot of people are going to forget a lot of that.
Yeah, I don't think it ever goes away. Like, if you follow the team, it's always going to be a topic. Like, it's always something that existed. It happened. It's history.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to ignore it, but I think that it gets pushed down the priority list quite a bit.
The level of importance goes way down depending on Stroud. 713-780, the level of greatness for Stroud. 713-780-3776. Out to the HRMP listener line. Jimmy, you're in the high. What's up, Jimmy?
Hey, how's it going today, guys?
Good.
Good. I think the big problem Casario people have is I think the Sauce Gardner taking Stingley over him is just so overthinking everything, and he's always got to be the outthink you guy. He's the guy that's tweaking the fantasy football that's starting Sam Darnold over Justin Herbert to prove how smart he is. And that's great in the later rounds. That's what you want. In the first round, take the sure dang thing.
Appreciate the call, Jimmy. Now, I get it, and I see your viewpoint, and I mostly agree. There were a lot of people that thought Stingley was the sure thing. Now, versus the injuries, like Sauce didn't get hurt, Stingley did. But when you flip it, Stingley was doing this in the SEC at LSU, and Sauce was doing it in the silly old American Conference in Cincinnati. So for all the people that said the sure thing was Sauce, he's healthy, he can play, the other half of the room was saying that Stingley's the sure thing because he did it against much better competition and did it in the best conference in all of college football.
I think it is the most revisionist history thing that this city does, because there are so many people that watched him play one game, probably, and that was a playoff game.
And probably highlights.
People do not watch the University of Cincinnati.
No.
And then they act like now he was this slam dunk pick and that they knew all along – 90% of those people, Joe, I think you're lying.
This was a Sauce Gardner show. Yeah. And, like, I was taking heat because I was an American Conference homer for saying that Sauce Gardner should have been the pick. So, like, I remember this conversation really, really, really well because I was on the Sauce side and I took a lot of grief for taking the Sauce side because he was a Cincinnati corner that hasn't played real competition. Stingley has top conference in all of the country. So I do agree with Jimmy's point, though, that Nick Caserio does a lot of, like, outside the box, I'm the smartest guy in the room thinking. So I agree with his general point. But I think it was pretty split with Sauce and Stingley
and
at the time of the draft.
I was on the Sauce side of it, Joe, but I was on the Sauce side of it for the health concerns. I was like, if you're going to compare two guys and they're A and B on the list, if A doesn't have health concerns and B does, then I'm going A all day, every day, because especially as a corner, when you need your feet and that's hyper important, I'd have concerns.
6276 says that Jordan Davis and Sauce Gardner should be Texans. That would have been Sauce and Davis over Stingley and Kenyon Green, and that sounds sexy right now. Mm-hmm. I hate you for bringing that up on Friday late in the week. That really sounds good. Really sexy right now. Lamont, do y'all still think Caserio's on the headsets? I don't think so.
I don't at all.
I don't think so.
Not with D'Amico. He was on the headsets because he realized that David Culley was totally and fully incompetent.
Yeah. And he was the like the analytical guy. Go for it. Don't go for it. I think that you're right.
Lovey shut it down because Lovey, as a NFL veteran coach, was like, we ain't having that. And there's no way that D'Amico is going to go take a step back and say and tolerate it.
He probably should have been on there with Lovey, too. There's 13 rookie receivers that were drafted in the first three rounds this year. Tank Dell was one of them in the third round. We talk a lot about C.J. Stroud versus these other rookie quarterbacks. What about Tank Dell versus these other rookie receivers? How does he stack up amongst the other first three-round rookies that were taken in the draft? So that eliminates Puka because he was drafted in the sixth. You have, like, Jackson Smith and Jigba, who has one more catch than he does. Zay Flowers in the mix. Jordan Addison's in the mix. Rashee Rice has few more catches than Tank does. And then you have some, like, absolute busts. Quentin Johnson has looked terrible. Yep. He has less than 10 catches. Cedric Tillman looks terrible. He's caught one pass all season, maybe because his quarterback stinks. Where do you think Tank Dell stacks up with this rookie wide receiver class?
At the top. I mean, if he's not the top, then he's in the top two.
Yeah.
Because he's gotten an opportunity, which matters. He's made the most of his opportunities when he's got them, which matters. He's stayed healthy for the most part, which also factors in. But when you just look at the fact that we can't define a ceiling for him yet, and we know how good he already looks, I think that he's at the top.
I can't give him ahead of Zay. Zay has 20 more catches, more yards. Jordan Addison has 6 touchdown catches, which is kind of mind-blowing. I can't believe he has that many touchdown catches.
He's hard.
I was surprised to see that.
He feels like number one.
He's got more. I mean, he's 10 fewer catches than Zay, and he has less yards than Zay, but 6 touchdowns is hard to ignore.
I just feel like we overthought him. He won the Bernardrick Award or whatever, as a junior.
When we used to do our, whatchamacallit?
Oh, we were doing like the three after?
Yeah, we did the three afters.
Uh-huh. Mock draft Mondays.
I liked him.
But who's that?
Addison.
Yeah, I was a Zay guy.
I've always been a Zay guy.
I like being a Zay guy, but it's hard to ignore the 6 touchdowns. Rashee Rice has been pretty good as a rookie. Now he's in the Chiefs offense. 26 catches, 305 yards. Josh Downs has been underrated good. 33 catches, 400 yards.
He's sneaky good.
He's sneaky good.
He was available in like 95% of fantasy leagues this weekend.
Crazy. I'd probably go Tank top five of these rookies. Hard for me to put him in the top three. Like, I think Zay's got him. I think Addison's got him. I think Rashee Rice might have him by a hair, and Josh Downs has him.
I think he's in front of Downs, and then I think the Rice is really a toss-up.
Downs has 14 more catches, 80 more yards, same amount of touchdowns.
I think it's Zay Addison. Tank Dell's my fifth. I think it's Zay Addison and Tank.
I'll put Tank ahead of Rashee, but I'm going to go Addison, Zay, Downs, Tank.
I'm good.
Which is good. I mean, he was the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. He was the 9th receiver drafted.
I mean, it's great.
Top 4?
It's awesome.
Yeah, it's really good. Let's sneak Gary in here real quick. 713-780-3776. Gary, you're in the Hive with the Bees. What's up?
Hey, what's up, guys? So I want to vehemently disagree with this revisionist history about Stingley. Mm-hmm. Just so we're clear, like, I'm not a draft expert. This is Lance Zierlein.
Yeah.
But I do read a bunch of mock drafts. Stingley was not rated over Sauce. Like, Sauce was the consensus best cornerback in this draft, and it was because of injury history. If y'all were like, Stingley didn't even work out at the combine because he was still hurt.
Right.
Like, the injuries are the concern, so it is not revisionist history that people wanted Sauce Gardner. Like, he didn't go number four because the Jets were just, like,
no,
thinking
Gary,
about something. Like,
Gary, you're right. You're right, because I remember all of that as well. I'm going more from, like, what we heard in our seats on the text line and calls and stuff like that. From a professional standpoint, in, like, mockers and stuff like that, you're 100% right. It was more about the perception in this city, which is a very heavy LSU city. So I think we're saying kind of two different things, but kind of agree, Gary.
Be clear, because, you know,
Gary, we know you love you some Nick.
Yeah, you're a big Nick guy. You broke up there a little bit, Gary. Thanks for calling. Have a great weekend. All right, send us your worst. Send us all the mean things you have to say today. We end our shows every Friday. Our Car Wreck of the Day presented by CarWreckTexas.com. All the mean things you said to us. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Before we go to the break, tell you about the good people at Allstate Windows and Siding. I am a big fan of Allstate Windows and Siding because they have been in Houston for over four generations, over four decades. Mary and her family, they're phenomenal people. They take care of Houstonians every single day. But you should be taking care of your biggest investment. It's your house. When you take care of your house, you're doing things to make sure that it's strong, that it's protected, that it has a long lifespan, and that it continually does the things it needs to do to put a roof over your head and make sure you keep energy in no matter the season. That's what they do with the sidings and the windows that they have at Allstate Siding and Windows. I had them come out recently. They're about to start putting in windows in my house, and the reasons were very, very simple. Because they have the greatest deals going, like 12 months no interest. They have, you know, 9 months same as cash, $150 off on windows minimum 10. But the fact of the matter is, more than that, they know what they're doing. So they're going to tell you, hey, look, no more remodeling, painting, staining, and repairing your home when you put siding on it. The same way, when you have the right windows and the windows that they offer that are Texas tough, they're going to be able to sustain the hurricane season. They're going to be able to keep the air conditioning in the summer, and they're going to be able to keep the heat in when it gets cold in the winter. And it's going to keep your electric bills and all your energy bills down, while it's going to keep you comfortable no matter what season it is. I encourage you to just check them out. See what they can do for you. They're great about coming out and checking out what you're thinking about doing and telling you what would work for you. And then make the decision for yourself. I made it. It was easy because I think they're the best in the business. Call them today, 832-204-1936, 832-204-1936, or check out the website, Allstate Siding and the word and, allstatesidingandwindows.com.
Wow. I was ready to go. I'm fired up.
DJ Joey G is not giving you the soft mix.
He's playing on Branham. I signed for all the mean things all of you have said to us all week long. We appreciate all the mean things that you say to us all week long, some more than others. And it's never too late to get mean text in. You can send them 713-780-3776. You can tweet them at Pac-Man Joel. You can tweet them at Joe George Radio. Don't tweet them at me. You can also say them on the Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975, which, I mean, that's just a continuous stream of mean on the Twitch line. Am I right? Dr. Swagalicious, who I think's Josh Beard's mother.
What a name.
Or father.
Josh Beard's mother.
Yeah, because at 3:01 today, he said on the Twitch, killer bye-byes, adios. He was there for Connor and Beard, and as soon as we entered the room, Dr. Swagalicious, which doesn't sound like anybody I want to hang out with.
Nope.
He said, killer bye-byes, adios. What do we think of the burn? Grade the burn. Because I appreciate good burn, even if I'm the subject.
Anybody touting themselves and literally touting themselves as Dr. Swagalicious probably should look in the mirror and evaluate before evaluating other shows.
The burn's better than the name. Dr. Swagalicious on a scale of 1 to 10 is a 1 as a name.
You're being generous.
The burn, I mean, a scale of 1 to 10.
Right.
It's the minimum amount. Killer bye-byes, that's a decent burn. I'm going to give that burn a 5.
I was going 4.
Where do you rate the burn?
3.
You're not pleased with the burn. Okay.
Be better.
Dumb. I thought the burn was better. Okay. Killer bye-byes, killer bees. I get it. I thought the burn was pretty good. The name's awful, though, Dr. Swagalicious. Pena should be upset. LOL. He sucks. He had one good month of hitting in 2 years, and everyone thinks he's bad. Trade Pena in the offseason. That guy doesn't feel too good about Jeremy Pena.
Ouch.
That
could end up being Bad Take Boulevard.
I'm going to defend Pena because maybe it's the first name brethren. I don't know. I feel like Pena gets a bad rap in Houston right now. Yes, I know his playoffs weren't very good. Yes, I know he was a postseason hero a year ago. It was a good hitter in the second half of the year. He's a really good defensive shortstop. I feel like Pena is getting way too much grief than he deserves.
You know what? He's the victim of his immediate success.
Probably.
If he doesn't hit the cover off the ball and win the American League Championship Series MVP and the World Series MVP, people would be a lot more lenient and accepting of Jeremy Pena. But when you do that and set the bar that high, that's what the expectations are. And we said at the start of the year that was unfair. But now it's even worse because he didn't have the same kind of playoff.
Honey Glaze Branham, again, you're an idiot and a clown for your take on the Astros manager. I'd have to say yes. Okay. Thank you for naming yourself after me. I appreciate that. Invitation's the sincerest form of flattery. I don't remember who sent this one. The intro to this show has got to change and change quick. The "Hey, how we doing" is a cute gimmick for midday, but not the 1A show on the station. Really need better.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Time out, though. They call us the 1A show on
the station. They did. That's why I thought that was nice.
It's complimentary. I would disagree. We're definitely 1B at best.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. I would even go as far to say 2.
Yeah, we're 2.
But I'll take 1B. 1A on the 1A on the show means that you've lost all credibility and that you don't get any say on what the intro to the show is going to be. If you were real with us and you said 1B or 1 killer B or 2A, then maybe you would have a stance and maybe you'd have some credibility. But the moment you said that we're 1A, you lost all credibility, whoever you are. Ocho changed the show's opening music. So not the intro, but the opening music. Don't Sweat the Technique is probably this guy's worst track.
We can do that. I'm not a
post. I don't really have a... I'm not a creative mind.
I'm open to suggestions on the tunes, but it's coming from a legit loyal listener to an Ocho, so we'll take it under consideration. We've changed it before, but we changed it before due to other circumstances.
Can I read one real quick?
Yeah.
I was listening to Houston Sports Radio this afternoon. They were praising Dusty Baker for being a winner everywhere he went. My memory of Dusty Baker in Chicago is how he ruined the career of Mark Pryor and Kerry Wood. I told my dad I would read that for him.
Your dad was the mean text?
Yeah. My dad posted that on Facebook.
To who?
To all of his Facebook followers.
Oh, so it wasn't like directed at anybody?
No, he just posted it on Facebook.
That's where he gets his hot takes at?
Yeah. He listens to us and then he puts hot takes
on Facebook. Oh, so we were the one who... Yes. We were the genesis of his hot take.
We were praising Dusty Baker and then he got upset about it.
Do you agree with your dad?
Why doesn't he text the show?
Uncle Barney does.
Yeah, Uncle Barney texts all the time.
He's driving.
Uncle Barney tells me I'm an idiot all the time.
Do you agree with your dad, or do you agree with us?
I mean, he's got a cub bias.
I still love Dusty. He still ruined he ruined Pryor and Wood, but he gave me a lot of great memories here. So
take it up with your dad, then.
Team Dusty.
Tell Papa Jorge, though, to stop posting it on Facebook and just come straight to us.
Yeah.
I would appreciate he'd be a good character on the show, right?
He could be Uncle Barney. He could be a legit member of the show.
7308, I mock your value system. You often appear foolish in the eyes of others. That was deep. What's going on right now?
Why we got
Joe
Spencer
George?
Talking?
I meant to play the music.
Spencer's doing all that stuff. Need to be called the Killer S because that's a more likely grade. It's not very nice. The Killer Bees bring it on like thunder. So AC/DC Thunderstruck should be the opening song. Nah. That's not a mean text either.
Not like that's question. Been used before. Ever.
Poncho, the Killer Bees opening is right next to umpire Joe West display in the Hall of Fame. A lot of Levis jokes this week. None of them were any good.
QB1.
And then Blankers. You just responded to my text by saying I'm a prisoner of the moment with... That one doesn't make any sense. Whatever.
Oh, that was the Bregman and JP France.
Yeah, y'all got to do better next week, listeners. This mean text weren't all that mean. We got to bring it stronger next week. It's going to do it for us. Thanks to Joe George for doing all the hard work. He's Blank on Brandon. We'll talk to you Monday, Houston. Have a great weekend. Wagering Award with 5-star is next. And then the World Series. Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5. See you Monday.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards. Save big.